Good to be here, amen. We're going to be bouncing around in the Bible today for several places that we want to look. But the topic that I'm speaking on, God's plan for worldwide missions, really could be called Missions 101. When I was in college, we took classes, and for 101, there were 200 classes, 300, 500. There were some that were theological master classes and doctrinal classes. There were all kinds of classes. Amen. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to start a series on precious things. First and Second Peter, the writer of First and Second Peter, the Apostle Peter, uses that word on six separate occasions in his two epistles. Precious. And they are speaking about six separate things that are, in fact, precious things. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to look at those. It'll be kind of fun to go through those and study those and do that. But today, we're talking about missions. Now, why on earth should we preach a sermon on missions? Well, there's a zillion reasons. Let me ask a question. Did Christ leave us a plan to reach the world? Listen very carefully. This is important. The last thing Christ emphasized, the thing that was on his mind in those last days with his disciples, was missions. Let me say that again. The last thing Christ emphasized, the last thing that was on his mind in those last days with his disciples was missions. Dr. David Livingstone, great missionary of Africa, who died in Africa, his body was buried in Africa. His chief worker that worked with him through all his life finally came to Christ, took his heart, carried it all the way to the coastline, and took his heart back to England and buried David Livingstone's heart in England. David Livingstone, though, won his body buried in Africa. David Livingstone said this: God had only one son, and he was a missionary. Everything Christ did was missions. The very reason he came was to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ's whole purpose on earth was missions. So it begs the question, has he left us some insight, some direction, some point of application to help us carry out this responsibility of worldwide missions? Has he? Well, I can answer that in the affirmative. Absolutely, yes, he has. And we're going to walk through that this morning. We're going to look in a chapter in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in John, and the book of Acts. The first five books of the New Testament, the last days of his work with his apostles, Christ speaks on these five occasions to this matter of missions. Amen? So let's go with me, if you'll go with me, please do, the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. Verses 18 through 20. Now, most people refer to Matthew 28, 19 and 20 as the Great Commission. And I'm fine with that. But what chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 tell us, or give us, or set down as a standard, and you want to write this down, is the authority for missions. The authority for missions. In verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, saying, all power, that word power is the Greek word we would get our word authority from, authority. He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. Here's the authority for missions. We don't just willy-nilly go out and do something. We don't just decide ourselves what's going to happen. Missions was authorized before either any of us here ever breathed a breath of fresh air. Amen? You know, people ask, the world asks, they ask this question. Think with me for a moment. They ask, by what authority do you dare speak to anyone and tell them that there is only one way to heaven? What right do you have to do that? What authority are you given to do that? Who do you think you are to do that, to knock on my door and dare tell me that there's only one way to heaven? One's just as good as another. Who said you can do that? Christ. Jesus Christ said so. And his authority trumps everybody else's, all God's people said. Amen. It's by his authority that we are given the responsibility of worldwide missions. Let me give you five thoughts about this authority. Number one, it's a delegated authority from God to Christ. All power, authority is given unto me. When Christ went to the cross, died on the cross, shed his blood, rose from the dead, conquered sin, conquered death, provided salvation for every man, woman, boy, and girl that wants to be saved. Because he did that, God granted him the right of authority to determine how the world would be reached. And it's a delegated authority from God. All power is given unto me. Number two, it's an innate authority. It's his, it's Christ innately. Because of who he is, he's God in the flesh, amen? But also because of the kingdom right to such a thing. He's building his kingdom, amen? And this is the way he's doing it, one person at a time. It's a delegated authority. It's an innate authority. It's a complete authority. He didn't say some power. He said all power, amen? It's a complete authority. It's a universal authority. Did you catch that? All power in heaven and earth. He didn't want you to miss a point. All power in heaven and earth is his. It's a universal authority. It's good for the people that are trusting Christ in Africa. It's good for the people that are trusting Christ in China. It's good for the people that are trusting Christ in Russia. It's good for the people that are trusting Christ in America. And it goes around the world. It's a universal authority. And then fifthly, it's an authorizing authority. An authorizing authority. Pastor, where does it say that? Go! All God's people said. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go! Go! How many know what go means? Yeah. We've got to do something. We've got to go. It's not sit. It's not stagnate. It's go. It's a delegated authority, an aid authority, a complete authority, universal authority, an authorizing authority. It's Christ's authority. He's the one that said, you must go. So if anybody asks you the question, what right do you have to tell me that there's only one way to heaven? Your answer should be Jesus Christ. Not because we're smarter, not because we think we've found the way. It's because Jesus is the only way. The authority for missions. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Now, jump over to the book of Mark. And by the way, that's the last chapter in Matthew. How many got that? What was the last thing that was on Christ's mind in Matthew? Missions. Mark, please. Chapter 16. Matthew gives us the authority for missions, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark gives us the scope of missions. The scope of missions. Mark 16, 15 says this. And he said unto them, his disciples, go ye, get the scope of this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, all God's people said. That's the scope of missions. Well, how far should we go, everybody? How much should we do? Go everywhere. How long should we do it till Jesus comes? How many are we to reach? All. The scope of missions is broad. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Can I ask you a question? What do you know about the world? What do we really know about the world? We're stuck in our world right here. This is our little world. But is there a world that he meant? Did he mean something other than Chester, Virginia? Did he mean something other than Virginia? What was he talking about? What does it mean when he says the world? Let me give you some statistics. 3.14 billion. I want you to wrap your mind around that number. 3.14 billion people. That's the number of unreached people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. In the world, nearly half the population. 3.14 billion. How many know what a billion is? It's a lot. Here, let me give you an example of a billion. If you had silver dollars in an airplane, you dumped silver dollars on the state of Texas. To reach a billion, you'd have to dump silver dollars in the state of Texas and cover it to 1 foot deep with silver dollars before you'd reach a billion. $3.14 billion. Wrap your mind around that. What are you doing with your money? What are we doing to reach them? 3.14 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus. What do we know about the world? Get this, 75.9% of missionaries, 74.9% of missionaries go to the reached world. We send them here. 23.7 work with the unevangelized, locally, normally. Here, 0.37%, not even a half a percent, 0.37% go to those who have never heard the name of Jesus. 3.14 billion people, and only less than one half a percent, 0.37% go there to preach the gospel. The scope of missions. What are we doing? What are we doing? I don't know if you realize this, many churches no longer have active missions. They don't even do it anymore. They just stopped. They read Acts 1:8 entirely different. Or they don't read it at all. Or they're in a country where you couldn't have a missions program because of the political system, like China or India. The Muslim countries. I mean, it's impossible. I have friends that take go to Saipan every year, friends of mine, and then Chinese pastors go to Saipan after some rigorous arguing to finally get a right to go and spend 2 weeks on vacation in Saipan. They're not going there for vacation. They're going there to be trained. If they found out they're going there to hear the gospel, they'd put them in prison. But in talking to these men, they asked this question. Two of the pastors asked this question. Is there anybody else besides us that are telling others about Jesus? The Chinese thought they were the only ones. They were ignorant. Let me give you the stat. There are 648 million Christians. 648 million Christians who have never been told about the unreached 3.14 billion. Ignorance is not bliss. One writer wrote this. We are surrounded by an ocean of lostness. There are 5,626 unreached people groups in the world. 5,626 unreached people groups. Different languages, different customs, different cultures. There's a little island in the South Pacific called Yap. How many ever heard of Yap? They speak Yapese. There's 10 islands there. Only three really are inhabited. There are a few on the others, but only actually three. They speak three separate languages, one primary language, in Yap. It's a complete indigenous culture. You know how many people live there? Total? 12,000. 12,000. And until 15 years ago, they never heard the gospel. South Pacific Islands. There's three families on those islands. All their last names are Zimmer. They're the craziest people in the world, these missionaries. On one outer island, Fice, there's 500 people. They've won 200 of them to Christ. An unreached people group. Yap! And there's 5,626 of those groups around the world. What do we know about the world? Listen to this statistic. There is one missionary for every 60,000 tribal people in the world. One. You go to the tribal areas of the world, you count to 60,000, and you'll find there's only one missionary for every 60,000 tribal people. We were taking on missionaries one year, and we took on a missionary to Africa, and we had several, I think four or five in Africa. And this guy came to me afterwards and said, "Why on earth are we wasting our money on somebody else to Africa? We already have several missionaries there." I said, "Do you know how big?" I almost laughed. I said, "Do you know how big Africa is? We have one in Tanzania, we have one in Kenya, one in South Africa, one on the Ivory Coast." Those are all different countries. For every 71,000 without any religion, there's one missionary. For every 179,000 Hindus, there's one missionary. For every 260,000 Buddhists, there's one missionary. For every 405,000 Muslims, there's one missionary. Over 70,000 people die every day in the unreached people groups of the world, and they die without Christ. 70,000 a day die without Christ. 70,000. Go ye into all the world. And preach the gospel. So we have the scope of missions. And thirdly, go to the book of Luke, chapter 24, end of that book. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. Jesus is speaking, and he said unto them, his disciples, that it is written, "And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Why? Here's the answer. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." What's the message of missions? It's stated here. Repentance and remission of sins. Repent, Jesus said, or ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is turning from one direction and going in another. It's turning from sin to salvation. And when you decide to repent, Christ will remit your sins. You'll have your sins forgiven, all God's people said. That is the message of missions. That's the one that 3.14 billion have never heard. 5,626 people groups have never heard. That's why 70,000 a day of those people groups die without Christ. They have never heard. Message of missions. Then fourthly, John chapter 15, toward the end of that book. John chapter 15, verse 16. What's the goal of missions? What is it, the real goal of missions? Listen to this verse. Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And here's the goal of missions. And that your fruit should remain, all God's people said. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What's the goal of missions, Pastor? Fruit that remains. This isn't just a profession of faith. This is a life change that happens through discipleship by God's people. For so long, the church has thought the only responsibility was to win somebody to Christ. I've got news for you. That's just the starter. That's just the beginning. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Discipleship is the answer. That's teaching people. And there's four areas you should teach in then. Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, we're to establish every believer in the Word of God. That means that they open this and they say, not my pastor has the answers, but this book has the answers. This book is really alive. This book is the very Word of God. They have their trust in the book. They're looking to the book. We need to establish them in the Word of God. Secondly, we need to establish the believer in the fellowship of believers. We get them saved and then we forget about them, and 10 years later we find them and they said, oh yeah, I made a decision about that. What church you go to? None. Where do you fellowship? With no one. They need to fellowship. They need to do this. We need to be with them. They need to be with us. We need to love on them. They need to love on us. We need to train them in that. Teach them that. Let them know that we're glad to have you here. Amen? We are to establish the believer in the Word of God, the fellowship with believers. Then I put in the structure and purpose of the church. All God's people said. Why do I need to come to church? If you can't go fishing, you can come. If you don't want to, we'll run the service a little later so you can get up later. Bless your little heart. I've got things I want to do on Sunday. I work Monday through Friday. Poo, poo, poo. The church isn't just an addendum to your life. The church is your life. Amen. structure and purpose of the church. Then there's a fourth thing, to establish believer in the work of ministry. The things that thou hast heard of me, Paul said to Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Ministry. Ministry. Then Acts chapter 1, one last thing. The ascension has just taken place. And in verse 8, Christ is speaking to his, just before the ascension takes place, Christ is speaking to his disciples in verse 8. And he says this to them, but ye shall receive power. This is not the same word used in the book of Matthew. This is the word we get our word dynamite from. It's dunamis in the Greek. Dynamite. How many like that? I don't know what I told you. My grandfather had dynamite on his property. There's a big rock in the backyard, and grandma said, you need to get rid of that rock. So he tried to dig it up. Didn't happen. Put a chain around, tried to pull it out of the ground. Didn't happen. Tied it to his big tractor, pulled it out of the ground. Didn't happen. Broke the chain. So by this time, he's getting upset. He digs a hole under it. Puts in two sticks of dynamite. Now this rock's about 150 feet from the house. And it's about 3 feet across. And I mean, it's a big rock. Puts a fuse on it, goes over and hides behind the wagon. And all us are out there watching. He said, hey, you should come over here by me. Lights it. Made a big boom. I mean a big boom. It blew the rock out. Got it out of there. It almost landed on top of the house. Landed in grandma's garden and destroyed everything that it touched. Just wiped it out. But he got it out of the ground. But he had it in the garden. It cracked enough that he could take it and finally beat it into pieces and into the story. But that word power here is dunamis, dynamite, explosive power. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both in that word, both is like saying at the same time. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. In Chester, in Virginia, in America, in the uttermost part of the world. That's just what he's saying. Witnesses. That's the power for missions, by the way. Number one, its origin is the Holy Spirit. You don't get this on your own. You don't just flex your muscles, go out. You go under the power of the Spirit of God. You know who just moved into my apartment complex? Four Mormon missionaries. It ticked me off. There aren't four Christian missionaries there. My wife and I. I said, honey, wherever those guys go, we're going to be like the shadows. I'm going to when we see they're starting to walk up, I'm going to run in front of them, knock on the door. Don't listen to these guys, but I got something I want to tell you. The power for missions, Holy Spirit. Purpose for missions, ye shall be my witnesses. Now, I'm going to ask one more question. What do you know about the world? If what I just said is true, and it is, what are you going to do? You know, I've never understood how somebody can make $80,000 a year, a family can, and think that by giving $10 a week or $20 a week, they're helping God out. I've never understood that. I've never understood that. When this mission is so widespread, should you not be pouring, should we not be pouring our money into reaching people for Christ? Amen? Should we not be giving so this church can grow, so that God can bless it, so that we can reach people with the gospel? Worldwide missions. Does God have a plan? Yep, he does. Let's get connected to that plan. Amen. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to serve you. Help us to be committed to these simple things, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.